Psalm 25, we're going to pick up tonight at verse number 15. Psalm 25 and verse number 15, the Bible says this. David says, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." Father, thank you for your word. Direct us, help us, guide us, teach us, direct us tonight. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. David says here in Psalm 25, he said, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord." Okay. That's pretty straightforward. It's pretty plain. That's easy to get. David's eyes were ever toward the Lord. The word "ever" in the dictionary means at all times, always. So at all times, David was looking toward the Lord. His eyes were toward the Lord instead of looking. And let me tell you something. David had a lot of things that could get his eyes off the Lord. And I'm not saying sometimes that his glance didn't look aside, because David sometimes took things in his own hands and handled it his way, but he was quick to get his eyes back on the Lord. And boy, it'd be easy in some of the things David was going through to get your eyes off the Lord. But David said his eyes were ever toward the Lord. That means always, at all times. And y'all, look, with the turn things are making as we do get closer to our Lord's return and the events that will take place that from what we see in Scripture, we won't be around for, but we don't know how much of a lead up there'll be before that. It's going to be so important that you and I keep our eyes ever toward the Lord. Amen. If you and I do not look to Christ, you're not going to make it. We're going to get discouraged. We're going to get defeated. We're going to get down. Brother, as we go through this thing, we are going to be disappointed. We are going to be let down. We are going to be dismayed, and there are going to be those who are going to let us down. You have got to get your eyes on the Lord and never take them off of Him. And I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, I promise you, you can finish up right for Jesus Christ. I promise you that. That is no idle a promise. It is true. It is as firm and as sure as the Word of God. That if we will keep our eyes on Him, we can finish up. We can make it. We do not have to be one of the casualties. We do not have to be one of those that, well, there goes another one. Yeah. There goes another one. There, it doesn't have to be that way. Yeah. But if we don't keep our eyes on the Lord, it is liable to be that way. And brethren, if you get your eyes anywhere, if you get your eyes on the troubles that are out there, if you get your eyes on the degradation and the sin that is out there, if you get your eyes on how that morality and right is just falling by the wayside and wickedness is increasing, if you get your eyes on how the state that the church is in today, the state that the professing church is in, if you get your eyes on individuals, listen, you're going to get let down and you won't make it. Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Ever look to Him and you can finish up. Like we said before, when you plow, what do those old fellas do? They tie a rag down there on a tree limb or something and they plow to that, to what they were looking at. They keep their eyes on that thing, and that enabled them to plow a straight line. Because without that, it'd be all crooked. Brother, if you want to plow a straight line and finish up, you can, but your eyes have to be ever at all times toward the Lord. You and I cannot afford any moment to take our eyes off the Lord. We can't. There's no time to coast. You can't do it. We can't. Every moment, at all times, getting up, going to bed, all during the day, all your life, keep your eyes on the Lord. People will let you down. Now, look here. Young folks, if you want an excuse, I don't believe you do. I don't hope you do. Surely not. But if you want an excuse to not have anything to do with the things of God, well, it's easy. Just look around. Now, I want to tell you something. I would hope, and it would just pain me, and it is surely my desire, that I wouldn't give you that excuse. But guys, I want to tell you something, young folks. If you scrutinize me too much, I'll let you down. That kills me. I wish I wouldn't. And it doesn't have to be awful bad, but I'm going to tell you something. Look here, in our flesh, we're going to let somebody down sometime. We're going to, and that's just all there is to it. It's just going to happen. But that, if a man lets you down or if a woman lets you down, that does not have to mean that you quit or don't go on. You've got to ask yourself, are you just using that for an excuse as your way out? Then we'll cut it before the Lord, because Jesus will never let you down. He never has and He never will. Now let me tell you something. Before you go into this thing about, wow, that person let me down. Well, okay, are you prepared to live a whole life with never letting anybody down yourself? And if you ever let somebody down yourself, so hold on now before you start that stuff. But young folks, I want to tell you something. If you want an excuse, I'm not saying you do, and I hope you don't, but come on, I've been around this thing long enough to realize I know how we are, how flesh is, and how we all are. If you do want an excuse to not go to church, to not have anything to do with the things of God, then do a 360-degree pivot, because you got everybody in this room can give you the excuse you're looking for. Because we're just sinners saved by grace. And if you look long enough at anybody in this room, somebody's going to let you down. Don't want to. Rather take a beating and do it. I'd rather the Lord take me on out than to give you a legitimate excuse to not do right by Him. But we're just sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. And if you look at it, you'll find what you're looking for. You will find what you're looking for. And if you're looking for an excuse to just do what you want to do or not have anything to do with things of God, it's not that hard to find. But if you're looking for reasons to stay in, you can find those too. But it's all what you want. But now look, pretty soon, I don't know when it'll be, but you young fellas here and over there, I mean, Ashley just got pointing at you a little bit, I guess, tonight. But listen, pretty soon, there's going to come that time, you'll be out there. What? Will you keep coming to church? Will you keep reading your Bible? We keep around things of God? Look here. You say, well, somebody said, well, I'm not saying, I don't care. Listen, I do care about that. But what I'm saying is, that's just right to do. How can it ever be wrong to get around the things of God? How can it ever be wrong to read your Bible? I mean, those things are just right. But will you let others keep you from staying in there around the things of God? Well, this person said this to me, or this person did this to me, or this person's attitude to me. Well, but you know what? You know what we'll do? Y'all tell me there ain't something kind of queer to this thing. Tell me there ain't something kind of queer and funny to this kind of thing. Listen, you know what we'll do? We'll go out to a job, and people can offend us. They can treat us certain ways. And we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. That won't stop us from hanging around. That won't stop us from going to work. That won't even stop us from talking to them and being around. But just as soon as somebody under the umbrella of the things of God, just as soon as somebody around the things of God, a church member or somebody who cares for our soul and care, let them mess up one time. Now, see? Now, why? That's the same spirit. There's a spirit to that. It's right. Demonic. It's the same spirit that we can read any other book better than we can the Bible. It's the same spirit that won't bother you to read any other book, but will jump on you when you read your Bible. You see, there's a spirit that when you get around the holy things of God, will just jump on you to either keep you from reading it or saying, them people, can you believe their lie? But will give the benefit of the doubt to anybody else out there. Now, is that reasonable? No, that's not reasonable. It's not reasonable at all. I hope you can see through it. And I hope you'll keep your eyes always on the Lord. If you're looking for a reason to not stay around the things of God, why, they're easy to find. They're easy to find. But I'll say this. It's not really a reason, though. It's an excuse. And it's not legitimate. And the main thing is because the Lord's never done you wrong. Let's suppose you say that... Well, my mom or my dad, okay, not perfect, not sorry. But can we answer me one question? What has Jesus Christ ever done against you? I want you to answer that. And don't hand me nothing about, well, I don't know him, I'm not, I don't hear that. Listen, he makes his sun to rise on the just and the unjust. He says, rain on the good and on the evil. He's just good. What has the Lord ever done that would cause you to not want to be around the things of Him. And you really think real hard about it, seriously. Real hard. Because it's an eternal and a real battle for your soul. And the devil's going to use anything he can, and he ain't going to play fair to mess you up and trip you up and get you aside. You're going to make it. You have to get your eyes on the Lord. And if you get your eyes anywhere else, you won't make it. David said his eyes were ever, at all times, always toward the Lord. Where are your eyes? Our eyes need to be upon the Lord at all times. Our eyes need to be upon the Lord in good times. You know why? Lest we take Him for granted and become unthankful. You'd be surprised how that in good times, it's easy to get your eyes off the Lord. Things are going good. And it's easy just to kind of coast or get your eyes off the Lord. But you know what? If you're not careful, we'll take Him for granted. We'll become unthankful. In bad times, we need to keep our eyes on Him as acknowledging Him as our only source of hope and deliverance. Go to Matthew 14. What are we talking about tonight? Keeping our eyes on the Lord. Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 25. Matthew 14, 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit!" And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water." And He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me!" And immediately, Jesus stretched forth His hand, caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. All right. And we know this, right? Peter sank when he looked at the wind and waves and took his eyes off the Lord. Peter was doing it. Peter was doing it. Peter was walking on the water. There's Jesus, just standing there. You know? Or else maybe he was so far out he was still strolling in, but there was the Lord on the water. And Peter's, you know, said, "Lord, be thou bid me come." Just come. He steps out and Peter's doing it. And then, because he's looking at the Lord. And then he looked at that wind, and those waves. And he got afraid. And Peter started going down. "Lord, save me!" And immediately, you got to love that. Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him. "Oh, thou little faith, where there is thou doubt." Listen, what David say, "My eyes are ever toward the Lord." Listen, don't take your eyes off the Lord. Because you're going to sink. And you know what? Listen, and I want you to watch this thing. If there's some good stuff right here in this thing. You know what? As we step out and follow the Lord in any endeavor, there are going to be wind and waves. And you're going to do fine as long as you keep your eyes on the Lord. But as soon as you start looking at the problems, as soon as you start looking at the situation, you're going to sink. You know what? Someday you're going to step out in a step of faith and you're going to get married. And you know what's going to happen? Wind and waves. They're going to come. They're going to come. And if you start looking at the wind and the waves, you're going to sink. You got to keep your eyes on the Lord. You know what you're going to do? Look here. You're taking a church. You want wind and waves are going to come. Y'all, we cannot expect any situation in this life to not have its issues. Your individual life, your marriage, your family, your health, your finances, your church. Brethren, if it's in this life, it's going to have issues. It's going to have wind. It's going to have waves. It's going to have issues. And you know what? But if you start seeing those winds and those waves, the issues, you're going to sink. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Now, I want to tell you something, young folks. As you get older And if you don't know the Lord, when you come to know the Lord, if you know Him and you start growing spiritually, and you know what? Listen, there's going to come a time, either in salvation or growing in the Lord, that you know what? You're going to see things in a different light. And you'll see people in a different light. And you know something? Somebody gets saved and or joins a church and everything is all roses. But then, because it's this life, wind and waves develop. And where you were doing good, now you're starting to sink. Because you're looking at people or wind and waves. Bill Ruttman said, he said when he first got saved, he said at the church that he was going to, he said he thought that was the finest group of people that had ever been. He was newly saved. He said, I thought that was the great. He said, if you'd have told me a year from then that this one would have done this and this, he said, I'd about called you a liar. I don't want to fight you. What? He says, the greatest people ever lived. They're the one most wonderful. He said, but you know what? You find out. Of course, it's all new. You know what I'm saying? And with that new baby Christian outlook, it's all good. It's all good. It's almost like, you know, you get saved and you think everybody wants to too. You know, I mean, it's just all good. You know, it's all right. And you're just all full. And then you find out, whoa, what do you got to do? You got to keep your eyes on the Lord. You've got to keep your eyes on the Lord because you'll sink. You'll sink and you'll just start going down. Peter did. But he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord stretched out that hand and said, I'm just telling you, whether it's marriage, whether it's church, whether it's whatever, there are going to be winds, there are going to be waves. You've got to keep your eyes on the Lord, or you'll sink. I want you to notice a couple things here. I want you to notice that Peter did not just hop out. Did you notice that? You didn't see Peter say, well, that's my Savior, and just step out of that thing. And no, sir. Peter didn't just hop out. You know what he did? Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, I want to tell you something. In all Peter's rashness, in all Peter's personality, the way about Peter, I tell you what, Peter had some stuff to him. That's pretty smart. He said, what do you mean? Well, he didn't hop out. He said, Lord, bid me come. Because let me tell you what Peter knows. He knows that, look, if it's the Lord, I'll be able to do it. If it ain't the Lord, then as soon as I step out, I will sink, but I'm right at the boat. It'll be okay. So it'll be sad. That's a smart thing he did. Because if it's not the Lord, as soon as he steps up, bloop, okay. But that somebody can grab him or he can hold on the boat. He's okay. If it's the Lord, shoot, he'll be able to do it. But he says, bid me come. Notice he didn't just hop out. He asked the Lord to call him. And he did. Let me tell you something. Before you jump out in what you think is faith, make sure he's called you. Before you just jump out, make sure he's called you. Because let me tell you something. If he has called you, you'll be able to do it. If he's called you, you'll be able to do it. Watch this. Listen to this real good. Listen to this. I say again, Peter knew that if it was the Lord and he bid him come, he would be able to walk on the water. If it wasn't the Lord, he would immediately sink while it was still safe. Brethren, look here. It was indeed the Lord, and the sinking didn't come until he was almost to Jesus. This is fascinating. It really is. Let me tell you something. If it's the Lord, you'll be able to do the thing. But there's going to come a time, not right off. There's going to come a time that you're doing it. You're doing it. By the power of God, you understand. But you're doing it. But there's going to come a time, bud, that you're out away from that ship. You are out away from that ship now. You're committed. All right? You ain't quite Jesus yet. You're committed. And that wind's whistling pretty good. And them waves are coming up. And it's then you're going to be tempted to look at everything going on and all the things that could happen and what are you doing out in the middle of this thing, and the whole situation is going to start coming in. And at that moment, you've got to, by sheer force of your will. Keep those eyes on the Lord. But if, and I almost seem to say when, if and when you do take them off and start to sink, just cry out to Him. Just call out to Him. Stretch forth that hand. Immediately, the Bible says, and called Him. But I want you to get that. Listen, too many people today just... Peter didn't vault over the side of that thing. Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come. If it's really You, Lord, call me. He did. Come. So that was smart on Peter. Because again, if it wasn't the Lord and he starts to sink, he's right there at the boat. Man, it's safe. But it was the Lord. Peter's doing it, man. He's doing it. He's doing it. He's doing, by the grace of God, he's doing something he could have never thought he could have done himself. And he can't do by himself. And he's doing it. But buddy, when he's away from the ship, ain't no going back now, bud. You know what I'm saying? He's out there. He committed. And ain't quite finished. Ain't quite the Lord. That's when all of a sudden you start. Man, y'all remember that. That's when it happens. That's when it comes. Keep your eyes on the Lord. If you do take them off and you start to sink. And you know how you know you take your eyes off the Lord? Your face may still be there, but them eyes are darting. You know, your face can still be, but your eyes ain't. You know what I'm saying? You know how you know? You're sinking. You're sinking. Call out to Him. Call out to Him. Did you know something I also find fascinating about this? Look how close He was to being done. He was so close, all Jesus had to do was... Ain't that something? Isn't that something? Brethren, He was so close, all Jesus had to do was reach out. That's how close. But He lost it there toward the end of that thing, right there when He was getting close to... Brethren, listen. Listen. This thing is critical at all times. And at any time of this journey, it'll be easy to start looking at all the things going on. All the wind and the waves and all. It'll be easy to start looking at that and start sinking. I mean, He was so close. But again, thanks be to God, He did cry out to the Lord. Lord, save me! And Jesus immediately stretched forth and gave Him just a little gentle, you know, oh, thou little faith, what is thou doubt? I don't know what it was like. But when He picked Him back up and they both went into the ship, I wonder if the Lord put His arm around Him. I don't know. I just said, Peter, look. How far you got, bud? Maybe He didn't have to, probably didn't have to say anything. Just that enough over a little day. You know, I wonder if Peter going back was like, you know, wow. That far. Brethren, amen. It's keeping our eyes on the Lord. Keeping our eyes on the Lord. All right? But if we don't, call out to Him. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And He will. Listen, look to God always, no matter circumstance. Look to Him for saving and sustaining grace. Saving and sustaining grace. Go back just a minute to Psalm 25. Please remember this tonight. My brothers and sisters, there's going to come those times. Lord, call me. I want to know it's You. I got to know it's You. I can't just do this. And you know what? If it's Him, you'll be able to. You'll be able to. But there's going to come a time you're away from the boat. You're committed, bud. And it's going to get interesting then. It's going to get interesting. Keep your eyes on the Lord. But brethren, if they fall off from the Lord, if Peter did it, brethren, I imagine, I tell you what, it'd have been Jonathan Doss. I'd have been like somebody's fishing bobber. That'd been me, bud. I'd been like a bobber, up and down. Lord, I'd probably go a little bit and go back down. Lord, I'd have been a mess. Peter didn't get his head wet, other than any rain there. You know, I'd have been soaked to the, you know. Peter starts sinking down, Lord God, I'd have been a mess. I'd have been a sputtering kind of, it'd been something to see, no doubt. But what I'm saying to you is this, brethren. When we do sink, because we got our eyes off, look to the Lord, call out to Him. Lord, save me. And He reached out right and got Him. Look what it says, Psalm 25, verse 15. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. He shall pluck my feet out of the net. First, I want to give you some nets. Some of these are obvious. Your brain's already going there. Internet. Social networks. Business networks. Nation networks. Being hooked up with this, you know, like entangling alliances, I guess, George Washington said. Church networks. Nets connect, and they ensnare and entrap. That's what a net does. From this leaf to that limb to that, you know, and they entrap. I understand. I'm not saying, brother, I understand there's things that we, business and this that we use, and there's I understand that. Boy, you better be careful. They're not called nets for no reason. Seriously. Pluck my feet out of the net. Brother, you don't think there are some people that are enmeshed in the internet and they need plucking out? Huh? Come on. Come on. You tell me there ain't some people that are enmeshed and entangled in social networking? Oh, yeah. They're in a mess, right? And even some of the financial networks. Man, you got to be careful. You get caught up in this and caught up in that. Church networks. Be careful. It'll bring you in, if you're not careful, to some group that really ain't. You know what I'm saying? You got to be so careful. I know. And brother, I appreciate how you do. I appreciate how you do with folks that come up there and running that gauntlet with the things that you do. That's a blessing. But be careful sometimes about networking that you can avoid. You know what I'm saying? I'll hook you up with this group or this group. It can be a dangerous thing. Nets, they connect and they ensnare and entrap. David said, he said that he shall pluck my feet out of the net. You know what the word pluck in the dictionary means? To pull off with sudden force or effort. To pull off out or from with a twitch. Now, if you pluck something, brethren, that's not just a gentle little. When you pluck it, you pull it off with sudden force or a twitch or something. There's a little abruptness to it. All right, listen. There were those who laid snares for David. Sometimes they could be avoided. But sometimes David got caught up and entangled in them. And it was then he needed deliverance. David got caught up sometimes. He got frustrated there sometimes. Maybe he got his eyes off the Lord a little bit and ran to the Philistines and got himself in a fix a time or two. There were some times David got, and he needed God's help in delivering him. Listen, ask God to help you see ahead and avoid the nets laid for you. Okay? Ask God to help you see ahead and avoid the nets that are laid for you. Fellas, look here. I'm picking you fellas against tonight. Guys, the book of Proverbs is just a book of Proverbs. That applies across the board, man. Proverbs wasn't given after the cross of Calvary, the new birth. Proverbs is Old Testament, man. It'll work. It's good. There it is. Guys, you need to ask the Lord to help you see the nets ahead so you can avoid them. The devil, listen, the Lord has things he wants to do in your life through Jesus Christ, and the devil's got nets he wants to ensnare you with and mess you up with. Now, he just does. You need to ask the Lord to help you see them ahead of time so you don't get caught up in them. Listen, one of the ways to do that is don't choose wickedness. You will ensnare your own self. Go to Job 18. Job 18. Job 18, verse 5. Job 18, verse 5. And y'all want to ask you something here just a minute, too. Do you have your device or does your device have you? Now, I want you to answer that. I want you to answer that. Have you subtly allowed yourself to get so connected to your device that you can't function without it? That you get a little antsy. If your device was taken from you, how could you handle it? What if your Bible was taken from? Listen, if we would get more upset from losing an electronic device than we would the Word of God, do you understand what that is saying to God Almighty? Do you understand? Now, do you have a device or does your device have you? Look at Job 18, verse 5. Job 18, verse 5. Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him. The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. For he is cast into a net, how? By his own feet. And he walketh upon a snare. The gin shall take him by the heel, and the robber shall prevail against him. The snare is laid for him in the ground, and a trap for him in the way. That's talking about the wicked. And he gets ensnared. He's cast into a net by his own feet. Listen, don't choose wickedness. Who was being described here? The wicked. And they got ensnared. Y'all, especially you young folks, don't choose wickedness. If it's wrong, stay away from it. If you choose wickedness, you will get caught in a snare. You will get caught in a trap. The Bible says it. Don't make that choice. Pray for discernment. Go to Psalm 10. Psalm 10. Verse 8. Psalm 10, verse 8. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places he doth murder the innocent. Doth he murder the innocent? His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den, but he lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth them into his net. He croucheth, look, and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. You need some discernment. Because some people crouch down not from humility, but in preparation to pounce. Do you understand? Some people get low, but it's not humility. They're a cat getting ready to pounce. And you need discernment to tell the difference. Some people will come to you and they'll be submissive and they'll look like that they're humble. They'll look like they're a lion getting ready to pounce. It looks like humility. It's a crouch set for a pounce. Please understand that. And it'll be that way in relationships sometimes. That young boy or that young girl will seem to show humility. They're getting ready to pounce. They see prey and they're getting ready to pounce on you. You need discernment to understand what is true humility and what is a lion crouching for the leap. Don't go by the wayside. Go to Psalm 140. Psalm 140. Psalm 140, verse 5. Psalm 140, verse 5. The proud have hid a snare from me and cords. They have spread a net, where at? By the wayside. They have set gins for me, Selah. So where did they set that net at? By the wayside. Stay on the path. The nets are by the wayside. Stay on the paths of righteousness. Stay on the old paths. It's safe. It's safe. The gins, the nets were set by the wayside. Stay on the path. Stay on the right path. Don't go off of it. There are traps. There are snares by the wayside. The Bible speaks of the old paths, those tried and true paths. Stay there. Young folks, you're going to have a choice to make one day. And there's going to be a temptation for you to stay around church. But you know what it's going to be? You're going to feel like, but I want to choose my own church. And what you're going to do if you're not careful, you're liable to want to choose a church where other people your age like. They talk about Jesus. They seem to love the Lord. But the music is not the tried and true hymns of the faith. They're not sound on the scriptures. But yet it's about Jesus. It's about God. And you'll make a compromised choice and you'll set yourself up for some snares. Ashley, pray, honey. Because you know what? Someday, honey, if some young man comes along, all right, and takes you somewhere, then guess what happens though? If he don't look at things the way you look at it, if he's a man, he's going to have to lead, should. But what if the place he wants to go to church at does not really love the Word of God, or does not hold truth, but is more contemporary and more, you know what? Then any kids you have, they're going to be brought up in that. They're going to take that for granted, that that's just the way it is. It'd be harder to bring them out. I'm just telling you, please, please, just watch. Be careful. Look out for the snares. Look out for these kind of things. Stay on the old path. Stay on the highway of uprightness. Another thing to watch out for. Watch for flatterers. Go to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. You know what? If you always have the right view of yourself, you'll never be subject for flattery. A person is subject to flattery when they want to be vain and conceited and they want to believe a lie about themselves. When you know the truth about yourself, you can laugh at flattery. Really, you can. You can be like, get out of here. You up to no good. I see through that mess. What are you talking about? No, sir. That stuff only works if you want to believe something about yourself that really ain't so, and you're vain and conceited. Look here, Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 5. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. David's talking about the Lord plucking him out of the net. Be careful, because somebody's flattering you. They are spreading a net. They have plans. They're trying to trap you. They're trying to mess you up. They are spreading net for your feet. Now, real quick, let me tell you what to do when you're caught in the net. What do you do when you're caught in the net? Number one, stop and be still. Stop struggling until you can see what to do. Because the worse you struggle, the worse it gets. You understand? When you are caught in a net, stop. Because the more all you're doing by just struggling on your own is you're helping the net do what it's supposed to do. It's just going to trap you further. Stop. First of all, you need to realize, you know what happened to most of us if caught in a net? Panic. And then, buddy, you just start reacting. And now you make it worse. You know what? When you realize, man, this internet's got me, you panic. And you try to get out on your own. All right? Instead of stopping, looking at what's going on, getting a plan, looking to God, in any kind of net that gets you, you're going to panic at first because you know what? How did this happen? It's going to surprise you. It's going to shock you to all of a sudden find out, this thing's got me. Because see, I'm telling you, it's like the drunk who thinks I got alcohol and then one day realizes that it's got me. That's a panicky feeling. It's a panicky feeling when you realize that thing's got me. I don't have it. It's got me. Can you imagine? It's just like somebody doing something and realize the machinery, you don't have it, it's now got you. And boy, that'll panic you. And you got to stop and you got to think through that thing. Listen, take what measures you can. Go to 2 Timothy 2. Do what you can. Stop a minute. Listen, when things are starting to spiral out of control, when all of a sudden you're caught in something that this thing's not going the way you thought it was going to go, stop. Be still. You know, a lot of times when you're caught in a net or something, if you'll stop, you're like, okay, hang on. Let's stop. Let's think. You can get out of that thing. Have you ever had a knot or something and you go like, and you just make it worse. And in the rare occasion that it happened to somehow come untied, you didn't do it. It just happened to happen that way. You stop and say, wait a minute now. These ends have to come out. They went in this way. Just stop a minute. The reason I'm saying this is because look at 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Listen, debt, habits, addictions, worldly affairs, they will entangle you.
Yes, sir.
Be careful.
Yep.
And don't just all of a sudden, what am I going to do? Stop. Stop struggling. And think the thing through. Doesn't the Bible speak of recovering themselves out of the snare of the devil? Recovering themselves. You can't recover yourself if you panic and just react. You got to stop and say, here's where I'm at. What can I do? What are the principles from the Word of God? What can I do to extricate myself from this net? And you can. Listen to those trying to help you. Go to 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. There's right. All right, stop. Look, okay, are you listening to me? Yeah, I'm over there. Hush. Just hush. All right, put your left foot over here and pull the thing this way. Whoa, no, that one. Do what I said. I can see what you can't see. Just listen to me. Do what I'm telling you to do. But you know what? If you're panicked, you can't listen. You're panicking. You're struggling. You're making it worse. Somebody's trying to help you. They can see what you can't see. If you came upon somebody in a trap situation, guess what? They're outside of it. They can see the whole thing. You can only see the little deal it's got. So they say, look, I can see what's going on. Listen to me. As long as you struggle, as long as you resist, as long as you think you know what to do, you can make it worse. You need to listen to somebody who can see the picture better than you can and can tell you what to do. You better listen. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. When you're helping somebody extricate themselves, you got to be patient. Because if you get flustered, they're going to get flustered. And it's just going to be in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Think about it. Somebody trapped in a net or trapped in something. They're fighting against their own self. They're hurting their own self. They're opposing their own self. If God peradventure will give them repentance, they acknowledge the truth, and that they may recover themselves. You know what you're trying to help them do? Recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. The key to getting help is to quit opposing yourself. Quit fighting against yourself. Quit hurting yourself by refusing to listen to what you know you need to hear. Many people oppose their own. Let me tell you something. The vast number of people you deal with, that you give them truth, they are fighting against their own self. They are opposing themselves. They are. And as long as they do that and refuse to listen, refuse to heed, as long as they think that they have the answers, you can't do anything for them. Other than try to keep praying for them and talking to them. But until they're willing to receive help, can't do anything. They're opposing their own self. Real quick. Acts 18. Acts 18, verse 5. People panic. You get somebody caught up in any kind of net, be it physical, be it emotional, be it spiritual, they panic. And you need to be a voice of reason and calm, with understanding, with guidance to help them. But you got to understand, they've got to be willing to receive it. And understand that at first they're going to panic, they're going to yell, you need to be that voice of reason and calm so you can help them. But they're only going to be helped if they'll receive it and acknowledge that they can't do it themselves and they got themselves in it and they need help getting out of it. There better be some humility. Acts 18, look at verse 5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves, isn't that something? They knew they were hearing truth. Their pride, arrogancy, whatever, they opposed themselves and blasphemed. He shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be on you upon your own heads. I'm clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Go to Acts 9. Acts 9. Verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and there shall be told thee what thou must do. You know what Paul had been doing? Kicking against the pricks. Paul had been kicking against it. Been resisting. But he gets a place of humility right here. And the Lord tells him what to do and he does it. Listen, when you get caught up in a net, stop. Stop struggling. Stop trying to do it your way. And receive counsel and help from the Word of God and from others who are helping you from the Word of God. Not psychology, not sociology, not psychiatry. Help from the Word of God that lines up with the Scripture. You understand? Listen, that book is either the word and words of God to help us or it's not. Brethren, if that book cannot help me in every situation I've got, then it's all a joke. That's just the way it is. That's just the truth. And so listen, you want to recover yourself? Okay, then listen, recover yourself. You got to be still, receive the help. And also, look to the Lord for help and deliverance. But understand, look what David said real quick. Psalm 25, I'm just about done with it. But look what it says real quick. There may be some times, brethren, that the Lord's going to get you out of it. There's some things you need to stop opposing yourself and you need to recover yourself. There's some things God is going to have to get you out of. But look at Psalm 25, verse 15. For he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Look to the Lord for help and deliverance. But understand that in getting you out, he may pluck you out in a manner that may be a bit more abrupt and a bit more forceful than what you expected. Okay. God, just get me out. Okay. David said he'd pluck him out. And the definition of that word is an abruptness, a jerk that just, when you pluck somebody out, that's in an abrupt and forceful kind of manner. The Bible speaks of recovering themselves out of the snare of the devil, taken captive by his will, opposing themselves. Hey, just stop here. Stop now. All right, do this. Man, you get yourself out. But if you won't, God can get you out. But he may pluck you out, and it may be a little bit abrupt, and it may be a little more forceful than what you'd expected. And didn't quite maybe have to be that way. All right? But you get out. But you get plucked out. Sometimes there might be a... Listen, you pluck somebody out of a net, there might be a little net burn. There might be a little dislocated joint somewhere. There might be a little rope burn. There might be a little something out of that thing. You get out. It might be a little forceful, a little more abrupt than what you thought. Best thing to do, don't get yourself a net to start with. Don't get yourself a net to start with. You know what? Some of them maybe in this room can speak of nets, you know, that God got you out of. But there's a little it wasn't quite a simple thing. And little scars from it, little effects from it. You got out. All right. But you know, it'd been good if you could have recovered yourself, maybe. Got yourself out and to where, with God's help, of course, you know that. But I'm saying to where, okay, extricate this thing a little. But you know what? You're liable to get yourself in such a fix. And get yourself in such a... God get you out. But again, it might have to pluck you out. Best thing to do, don't let it happen to start with. Look what it says, verse 15. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. I'll tell you this. If you keep your eyes on the Lord, I just don't believe what I see in the Bible, that God's going to direct you into a net and a snare and a trap. He guides in ways to deliver from those things. God's not going to be directing you in ways to get you in fixes and messes. He's going to direct you out of them. But if you take your eyes off the Lord, you go by the wayside, you listen to flatterers, all those things we mentioned, well, you're liable to get caught in a net. As soon as you realize you're caught, stop and realize, man, I am in a net. And it may be embarrassing, because you know why? I was warned. I didn't heed the warning. I'm in a net. Stop. Slowly get yourself out. If you're a little bit more entangled than you thought, ask somebody to help you and listen to what they're telling you to do. Gets bad enough? Well, look here. Always, even do the whole thing. Look to the Lord. But you liable to got yourself so into it, he's got to pluck you out. And that may be a little bit more abrupt than what you thought it would intended or hoped it would be. Best thing to do is, first thing, stop. You ever got caught in a spider web? And the more you beat that thing, the more you... It's like, okay, pull that thing off there. You know, there. You get that thing, man, that thing gets wrapped all around you. You then bring it in the house and go to bed with it, and that thing's all around, all over you. Well, that's the way of nets. It tends to get worse. Above all, the best thing to do, like I said, is avoid them. Avoid them. And if you'll keep your eyes on the Lord, you can. David said his eyes are ever toward the Lord. Think about Peter. It was God. Didn't sink. Doing good. But boy, when he's out there, away from the boat, he's committed. That's when the temptation comes to look around. But if we'll keep our eyes on the Lord, we can finish it up right. We can avoid those pitfalls, avoid those snares. But if we do sink, if we do take our eyes off, call out. He's there to grab. If we do get to where we just can't extract ourselves, he's able to pluck us out. He's able to do that. Keep your eyes on him. Call upon him. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, help us to heed the wisdom of your word, Lord. David said his eyes were ever towards you. Help us, Lord, to always, always, always look to you. If we look anywhere else, Lord, we're going to get discouraged. We're going to get fearful. We're going to get confounded. We're going to get upset. We're going to get bitter. Help us, Lord, to always look at you. And Lord, if we take our eyes off of you and we start to sink, help us to cry out like Peter did. Lord, Peter had sense enough to not try to tread water or swim back. He called out to you. And you lifted him up, and Lord, you and Peter come back to the boat together. Peter didn't try to swim back. He didn't try to tread water. He just humbled himself and called out. And Lord, help us, dear God, to realize if we'll keep our eyes on you, you won't lead us into traps and snares. You will help us avoid them. But if we do, Lord, help us to, as quick as we can, catch it. Stop struggling. Receive help. And Lord, above all, look to you always for help, guidance, and deliverance. And Father, we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name, please, for his sake. Amen.